This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up this week, the Senate approved the Annual Defense Authorization Act by a vote of 70-27. But despite the bipartisan support, the president has threatened to veto the measure that funds the military. The reason? The president is opposed to the additional funding for the military if it's not matched by an increase in domestic spending. Utah Senator Mike Lee joins us for that discussion. And the president took his anti-Second Amendment campaign to Oregon against the wishes of the residents of Roseburg. I'll talk about the president's misplaced priorities with former Cincinnati mayor and ambassador to the UN, Ken Blackwell. That's all coming up here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Let me encourage you, visit the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, our guests. You can also sign up for my daily update and alerts that keeps you informed as to what's happening, when it's happening. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com, on Twitter, at T. Perkins. All right, the Senate, as I mentioned this week, passed the National Defense Authorization Act. Now, that is something Congress does every year because it funds the military, addresses some issues that may be outstanding, but it's essential for our nation's military. Well, it was passed out of the Senate, as I mentioned, by a veto-proof margin, 70-27. But the president has threatened to veto. Now, the bill has passed the House as well, but a few votes shy of a veto-proof margin in the House. Now, as I mentioned, the NDAA deals with all budget needs for the defense of America. I mean, when we see what's unfolding in Syria with Russia and the Middle East, it's critical that our military be funded and equipped for the missions that we send them on. Joining me now with the latest on the passage of the NDAA, as well as what's happening in the Middle East and religious freedom here at home, is a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Utah Senator Mike Lee. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's great to be with you.
Now, the president is, threatening to veto the National Defense Authorization Act. To me, I think that's stunning that a president would play politics with our nation's security.
It is truly stunning. I mean, look, the NDAA authorizes important items, things like hazard and combat pay for our troops. This year, we've got provisions in the NDAA that reform our military retirement system and allow many more of our service members to invest in their retirement savings. We also have prioritization measures involving modernization of the acquisition system so that the Department of Defense spends taxpayer funds in a more efficient manner. And then we've got other provisions to fight sexual assault within the military. So with all of these items that have been very carefully negotiated and have received bipartisan support within Congress, in both houses of Congress, it really is a shame that the president would veto this simply because he's got concerns about issues that have nothing to do with military spending. He's saying he wants to veto this because it doesn't increase domestic non-military spending. And I think that's a big mistake. I hope he will reconsider.
Now, this was a part of the negotiation before about that involved sequestration and the ability to fund the military. The provisions used in this was kind of emergency wartime funding. And, of course, we're seeing the whole Middle East implode. And so I think there's $38 billion more for military. And the president and Democrats are saying, well, if you don't put more match that with $38 billion more into funding for domestic social programs, then I'm going to be against this. This just, to me, is totally irresponsible for the commander-in-chief.
I think it is a huge mistake, and I really do hope he'll reconsider because, as you point out, military issues are different from other issues in the government. They're different from our domestic discretionary spending outside of our military budget. They need to be dealt with separately, and for the president to hold this bill hostage simply because he wants to score points with the activists on the far left who are interested in protecting Washington's broken status quo, I think is unfortunate and very regrettable.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Utah Senator Mike Lee. Senator, I want to go to some domestic issues because you have sponsored the First Amendment Defense Act. And I want to talk about that because we're seeing increasingly the need for that. But I want to first address this one issue that came up about what's happening in Syria as Russia is moving in there in a very prominent way. I mean, it almost appears that the entire Middle East is in turmoil because of a lack of American leadership.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we're in a tough spot given, you know, longstanding Defense Department safety policies dictate that our fighter planes have to stay a certain distance away from Russian fighter aircraft at all times. And, you know, thanks to strategic decisions that have been made on our part over the last few years, this means that Russia can pretty much do whatever it wants in Syria. And there is a lot to be worried about when we look at the conflict in Syria. This is a very complex battlefield, a very complex war, and it's not a simple conflict. It's not something that, you know, when we look at it and say there's a civil war going on there, this is not a bipolar or a binary civil war. There are so many parties, so many components to this, that it's really complicated, and it presents a lot of risks for American national security and for our military interests in the region.
But when you look at Russia there in the Middle East and where this is unfolding right now in the Middle East, but it's not contained in the Middle East. I mean, Russia is exerting influence globally, and this puts American interest at risk. I mean, I can't think of a time in modern history when the world was as volatile as it is and America's national security as endangered as it is today.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of that is complicated by the fact that Turkey is a NATO ally. And if Turkey formally asked for our help defending Turkey's airspace, I think we'd probably be deemed obligated to answer their call. But it's not in the security interest of the United States to start a shooting war with Russia over a mere flyover.
Right. Well, let's turn now, Senator Lee, to some of the domestic issues as we've seen increasingly here under this administration. I just have to say an open hostility toward religious expression. There's this idea that you're fine expressing your religion as long as it's within the four walls of your church, but if you literally try to exercise that religion in the marketplace, in the public space, you're going to run into problems.
This is one of the great threats to our liberty. One of the great threats to our religious liberty in particular involves any effort on the part of those who control the levers of government to somehow relegate our religious liberties to the church, to the four walls of a church. It's very important for us to protect the right of the individual to believe, to worship, to associate, to pray as he or she deems fit. If we don't do that, we will quickly find our religious liberties eroded and all of them being taken over or at least severely weakened as the government becomes more and more powerful and as the government imposes more and more control over our lives.
I mean, there's this idea that I think is very prevalent on the left, at least, that, you know, yeah, we support religious freedom, but religious freedom is for the church. And it kind of, you know, quarantines that religious freedom to an institution. And religious freedom, as clearly laid out in the First Amendment, is not for an institution, but it's for citizens, the citizens of this country.
That's ultimately why it matters, is because of the people. Now, we have to remember what happened right after the Supreme Court issued its ruling a few months ago, invalidating state laws across the United States that limited marriage to the traditional definition of marriage, that being an institution between a man and a woman. When the Supreme Court basically imposed a constitutional right to gay marriage on the entire country, soon thereafter you had people commenting that Congress now needs to move, or perhaps the IRS needs to move, to get rid of the tax-exempt status of churches, or at least of those churches that don't believe in same-sex marriage, that have a religious belief against same-sex marriage. This is a concern to me, but it's also a concern to me that you might have some churches acting understandably out of their own self-interest, their own desire to protect their institutional objectives, their institutional interests. You might have some of them moving quickly to get Congress to try to protect the tax-exempt status of churches only, but not doing anything to protect the religious freedom of all Americans.
Right.
I think this would be short-sighted if this happened, because in this example, for instance, there are other ways it could manifest itself, but in the tax-exempt status category, let's say you had Congress moving to say, okay, you can't remove the tax-exempt status of a church on the basis of its beliefs about marriage, and it did nothing more than that. Well, no sooner after that happened, you might find that the IRS or Congress was moving to get rid of the tax deductibility of a contribution to such a church. So that's one of many examples we can point to of how the individual protection is every bit as important as the institutional protection.
So, Senator Lee, the First Amendment Defense Act, the federal version of this, would do what?
The First Amendment Defense Act, which I've proposed in the Senate, in effect, that the federal government may not take any action against any individual or any group based on a religious belief that marriage is between a man and a woman. So that would mean you can't remove the tax-exempt status of a church on that basis. You can't remove the ability to deduct contributions to a church on that basis. You can't deny someone employment or contracting opportunities based solely on that religious belief. And you couldn't take any other action either. This is something that ought to be completely non-controversial,
right,
because the American people overwhelmingly believe the federal government has no business punishing people for their religious beliefs.
How can our listeners be helpful in this? I know you've introduced this legislation, waiting to build support for this. What can our listeners do to help?
I would love it if your listeners could reach out to their senators and their congressmen and ask them wholeheartedly to support the First Amendment Defense Act, because we need more and more senators and congressmen to sign on to this bill and to talk about this bill and to make sure that we get it across the finish line, make sure that we get it passed. The more encouragement my colleagues in the Senate and our counterparts in the House can have on this issue, the better.
All right, folks, I want to encourage you to do that. You can go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, and actually find out more about the First Amendment Defense Act that's been authored by Senator Mike Lee. You can also contact your members of the Senate. You can call on Monday morning. You can call the Senate switchboard and get through to their office. That number is 202-224-3121 to get through the Capitol switchboard number. All right, Senator Mike Lee, thanks so much for joining us this weekend. As always, appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. And thank you for leading out to protect our first freedom, the freedom of religion.
Thank you very much, Tony. Really appreciate it.
All right. Have a great weekend.
Same to you.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're coming back with more of this weekend edition of Washington Watch right after this, when the former mayor of Cincinnati and a former ambassador to the UN, Kim Blackwell, joins us to talk about the president on his misplaced priorities when it comes to the shooting in Oregon. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this. Fear not. If you've read the Bible, you've read those words. But have you ever paused to meditate upon their meaning? In almost every case where God spoke those words, it preceded something extraordinary being done through ordinary people. God told people like Abraham, Gideon, and the apostles to reject their fears because fear holds us back from experiencing all that God wants to do in us and through us. We can't operate in fear and in faith. Faith says advance, fear says retreat. Do you want to know how to live with no fear? That's the focus of my new book, No Fear: Real Stories of a Courageous New Generation Standing for Truth. You'll be inspired and hopefully challenged by the real-life stories of young people who are standing up for Jesus in an increasingly hostile culture. You'll also read the biblical accounts of those who stood for God in their day and learn how to stand in a way that honors Christ. Learn to live with a holy reverence for God, and you'll have no fear of man. For more information, go to TonyPerkins.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along with us on this weekend. Hope you're having a great weekend. If you'd like more information about today's topics and our guest, you can go to TonyPerkins.com. You can also find out more information about the Family Research Council. Also, you can sign up for my daily update, which comes out Monday through Friday, addressing issues from Washington, D.C. that apply to your family.
from a Christian perspective. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. After last week's tragic shooting in Oregon, even before the victims were identified, President Obama began speaking to the press and said, quote, we should politicize, end quote, the issue, basically to advance his anti-Second Amendment agenda. Now, this week, the president went to Oregon, despite objections from the residents and elected leaders there who said, hey, don't bring your political agenda here. But does this latest display by the president expose his misplaced priorities? Joining me now with the answer is FRC Senior Fellow for Family Empowerment. He's a former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations for Human Rights on the Human Rights Commission. He is the former mayor of the city of Cincinnati and also an NRA board member, Ken Blackwell. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, good to be with you.
All right, let's just start with the facts here, Ken. A shooting on the campus there in Roseburg, Oregon Community College, gun-free zone, security guards, unarmed. The president using that as a platform to push for gun control. This president is not missing a beat when it comes to his liberal agenda.
Well, he's not missing a beat, but he's missing the facts. Gun-free zones are purported to forestall gun violence. But in practice, as we now have witnessed once again, they attract deranged gunmen like porch lights attract moths. Why? Because deranged gunmen are crazy. They're not stupid. An identified gun-free zone literally advertised the idea that this is the ideal environment for committing mass murders.
I mean, basically, it's like you have sitting ducks at a carnival. I mean,
absolutely. These mass shootings have been ended quickly with reduced loss of life by people with concealed weapon permits who acted before police could reach the scene. And we have to understand that in these gun-free zones, most mass shootings don't end until the police arrive.
Right.
You know,
the SWAT teams come in, and oftentimes
right.
The hostages are, at greater risk and often lose their lives while we're waiting for someone to act.
Absolutely. But if the president really wanted to deal with the loss of life, he wouldn't be going to Oregon, he would be going to Chicago, Illinois. He would be going to Baltimore, Maryland. What we know is that the guns in the hands of good, law-abiding people are not the problem. It is that bad guys with guns do these crimes, and then they get, soft kid treatment by the president and his cronies.
Yeah.
All you have to do is take a hard look at the numbers in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, let's take a look at that, because I've got that right in front of me. This comes from the Chicago Tribune. And I'm going to quote directly from the article. A violent September in Chicago ended with more homicides than any other month this year and the second most shootings, according to data kept by the Chicago Tribune's breaking news desk. Last month was the city's deadliest September since 2002. For two consecutive weekends, there were more than 50 people shot, the first time that has happened in the 4 years that the Tribune has been tracking shootings. They're on, according to their statistics, there were 351 shootings in the month of September. In Chicago is a city that has very strict gun laws. In fact, in the city of Chicago, there is not a single gun store in which you can buy guns. However, the police this year alone have taken off the streets 5,500 illegal guns. Now, again, that begs the question, when you have laws that keep law-abiding citizens from having guns, it apparently doesn't keep the criminals from having them.
Right, Tony, and what you're saying underscores the fact that it's time to stop the slogans and the feel-good symbolism. We are blessed to live in a free society, but we will remain free only as long as law-abiding citizens have their constitutional right respected by the government. People don't seem to understand that this is a fundamental right guaranteed by our Constitution. Now, you and I know that the president really doesn't give two cents for our Constitution. He thinks it is malleable, it could be made in his own image, to fit his own desires. But we know that as a fundamental right, people have a right not only to be free, but to protect themselves and their families.
Right. Absolutely. And that's what the Second Amendment does. And let me speak to that, folks, for a moment as a former police officer. Now, my guest, Ken Blackwell, former mayor of Cincinnati, also Secretary of State of Ohio. So he understands what it's like dealing with law enforcement. But I was a police officer for 10 years. It's about 1% of the total population. How can 1% protect the other 99%, especially in these cities such as this? And Ken, I want to draw attention. You mentioned another city. You mentioned Baltimore, which is within the shadow of our nation's capital. The president could have gone over there, because I want to quote a story on, I think this comes from off of Fox News, but for September, this is for Baltimore, homicides were up 39%, non-fatal shootings nearly doubled over the same month in 2014. For the year, murders are up 52% and non-fatal shootings 80% over last year. For the year, the 246 homicides recorded through September the 26th put Baltimore dangerously close to the record pace of 1993. And I just want one more fact on Baltimore, is that Baltimore has even tougher restrictions on firearms than Chicago, some of the strongest restrictions on the Second Amendment of any city in the nation. You can't even carry a firearm in the city, in your car or person. Ken, as a former mayor, I want to ask you about this from a standpoint of a citizenry that is totally dependent upon law enforcement to protect itself against criminals who are intent to do evil. Does that work?
It doesn't work. And what we have to understand, since everybody wants to be focused on the facts, is that since 2009, only 8% of mass public shootings have occurred where citizens are allowed to defend themselves. The numbers speak loudly, and they speak for themselves, and they speak to truth, and they should be speaking to Barack Obama and his administration.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Ken Blackwell, former mayor of Cincinnati and a senior fellow at the Family Research Council, joins me. Ken, we're just a few minutes left. I want to transition to another aspect of this where I think it shows the president's misplaced priorities, and that is the issue of family structure. Because when you look at Baltimore, only 16% of 15 to 17-year-olds in Baltimore have been raised by both a mom and a dad who are married. Chicago, not much better, 35%. And here's my question. When you look at the policies of this president that has discouraged family formation, has worked to redefine and deprive children of a mom and a dad who are married, and then he pushes these restrictions on the Second Amendment, he is actually creating the cultural moral implosion that is happening in our cities that become this fertile ground for violence.
Absolutely. Tony, you and I and the team at the Family Research Council understand that the family is the incubator for liberty. We know that big government regimes, whether they be authoritarian, big welfare states, or totalitarian regimes, we know that they destroy the family in order to create dependency on big government and all-intrusive government. So you are absolutely right in sharing these numbers. What it suggests is that the president has created an environment that destroys the family, weakens liberty, and as a consequence, breeds dependency on the government and in all areas of our life, particularly in this case, in the area of our responsibility and our fundamental right to protect our lives and the lives of our family.
Absolutely, and our neighbors, and our friends, and it's not
Absolutely.
Just it's not just ourselves, as you've pointed out, in those situations where people have been properly trained and have the ability to carry concealed, they have prevented, in some cases, mass murder. And we're almost out of time, Ken Blackwell, but I do want to, I cannot close this conversation about gun ownership, because, look, I'm a gun owner. All right, I believe in the Second Amendment. I exercise the Second Amendment. Of course, I've been a police officer. I've been in the Marine Corps. I'm very comfortable with weapons. But I know, as a board member of the NRA, it is responsible gun ownership, and that you know how to use the weapons, you know how to properly store the weapons and keep them safe and out of the hands of those that should not have them.
Absolutely, and that's what we constantly underscore is gun safety, gun care, and respect for the dignity of other people. We are, as at the NRA, one of America's first civil rights institutions, if not the first, and we take great pride in that. We are constitutionalists, just like those of us who believe in the sanctity of the human life. We believe that it's important to protect the integrity of the Constitution and the rights therein in order to uphold American exceptionalism and to pass on to the next generation an America that continues to be the beacon of freedom throughout the world.
And I'm with you on that. It's faith, family, freedom, and firearms. It's the ability to protect all the above. Ken Blackwell, always, great to have you along. Always interesting conversation.
Thank you, sir. Good to be with you, Tony.
All right. Have a great weekend. All right, folks, out of time for this weekend. Thanks so much for joining us. I know it's a topic we normally don't cover, but I have to underscore what is really at the core of this cultural implosion. And you got to be careful of this, this sleight of hand by pointing to, if we just had gun control laws, we could solve this dangerous environment that we've created or that has been created. And that's simply not true. The reason we have this cultural implosion, this dangerous environment, is because of the very policies that this president has pushed. Redefining marriage, discouraging family formation. Again, let me go back to the numbers in Baltimore. Only 16% of 15 to 7-year-olds have been raised by both a mom and a dad who are married. How can we have stable societies in which human life is respected when we don't have children that understand their worth because their parents have rejected them? Folks, this president is pushing that with his policies and then blaming something else, wanting to restrict your freedoms and your rights. All right. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more there. I've got to leave it at that point. I hope you'll join us again next weekend. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians chapter 6, which says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.